Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
Hello and welcome to this latest episode of the PCI podcast. Wherever you are and however you're listening, it's great to have you with us. In this episode, we'll be taking some time to explore pastoral care and its vital place within the life and ministry of the church today, and particularly how those of us who deliver pastoral care might grow in confidence when it comes to building relational connection, holding quality conversation, and introducing strong biblical and prayerful content into the care we provide. I'm Andrew Dixon, PCI's Congregational Life Development Officer, hosting the conversation, and I'm delighted to be joined by Andrew Collins, Marion Haddon, and the Reverend Ben Walker. Andrew, Marion, Ben, you're all really welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
For this conversation today, and I suspect you are too. So let's begin, why don't we? We'll start by inviting each of you to take maybe 30 seconds to tell listeners who you are, where you're from, what you do, and why you're passionate about pastoral care. Andrew, we'll start with you, and then we'll go to Marion, and then Ben.
Okay, thank you, Andrew. Lovely to be here. Andrew Collins. I work as the director of the Certificate Programme for Biblical Counselling UK. I'm based in Portadown, married to Nicola, we have 5 kids, and I belong to the church family at Kilogamian Evangelical Church.
Yeah, I'm Marion Haddon. My husband Ian and our 2 children and I belong to Terrace Row Presbyterian Church up in Coleraine. I was an English teacher for 20 years and then for the last 10 I've been working as family and youth coordinator in Terrace Row in my own church, and I'm also a ruling elder there. And I'm passionate about pastoral care since enrolling on the Biblical Counselling Certificate course and actually seeing the way in which God can work and can change. And it gave that kind of confidence to know that God is sufficient for whatever circumstance we're facing in life.
Thanks. I'm Ben Walker. I'm from South Belfast, but you can clearly tell I'm not. I'm originally from England, but I'm from South Belfast. I'm the minister of St. Phil Road, a Presbyterian church. Married to Ruth, we've got 3 kids. I've been at St. Phil Road for about 4.5 years, and we talk at St. Phil Road about life together with Jesus. That's what we're about, and I guess just lots of things are a part of that, but pastoral care, help drawing people deeper into life together with Jesus and trusting him as a community together, that's what we want to be about. So that's why I'm really keen on that, and it's great to be with these folks to hear a bit more about that today.
Great, thanks everyone. Good to get to know a little bit more about you as well. So Andrew, we're going to start with you. Pastoral care is one of those things, it's one of the most vital ministries of the church today. It's needed in times of celebration and joy, but also maybe more really in times of difficulty, struggle, pain, loss, and so much more. Could you give us some background? Whenever we hear the term pastoral care, what exactly are we talking about? What is it? What's its biblical basis?
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. By the way, I realised I didn't say why I was passionate about this too, but it's for exactly the same reasons as Ben and Marion, so I should have added that in. Pastoral care, I suppose when we hear the word pastoral, we think of something that is shepherd-like. So that tells us something about the nature of this care. And then we think of care, we think of, you know, something that is weighing us down, something that's burdening us. And that sort of reminds us that when we're caring, we have someone on our hearts. We have, you're on my mind, is kind of the idea. And so we join those together and we see something of what pastoral care is like. But I suppose rather than having a sort of a textbook answer, we go to somewhere like Psalm 23 and you begin to see really fleshed out the good shepherd who leads us by sort of still waters and makes us lie down in green pastures and restores our soul. And we begin to see this wonderful, vivid, fleshed out sort of living picture of what pastoral care is. And I think then as we sort of trace that through scripture, think about the Good Shepherd on into the New Testament, and think about then how that care extends into the life of the church beyond that, we begin to really see something of what pastoral care is about.
Great. Thanks, Andrew. That's a really vivid, helpful description of pastoral care. Marion, Andrew's outlined what pastoral care is for us there. I mean, based on your experiences, why does good biblical pastoral care matter in the church today? And as you think about offering care, you know, both within your role in Terrace Row on the staff team there, and maybe then also as a ruling elder, What sort of things should the pastoral care that we're providing within our churches offer or do for the people who we're caring for?
We have always needed pastoral care in the church, and we've always needed good biblical pastoral care in the church. But I think in our current situation, where we're in a post-Christian society, where God has been taken out of popular thinking, we have lost that knowledge of Him being at work in our lives. I think as a church, we've almost given up on the idea of bringing God into the specific situations that we're in. And life in this world is, it's a fallen world. It's hard. We struggle to deal with things. We struggle to make sense of it on our own. And so we need people. And God's plan for us is to have us walking beside each other, one anothering each other, getting beside each other to point to God and to bring God back into our thinking again and to give us His perspective in the darkness of our sufferings and the valleys that we're in. I remember hearing the term the gospel gap, and it really struck a really true chord with me. The idea that, yes, as Christians, we know the Bible and we know scripture, but we feel and we find it difficult to apply scripture specifically to every situation of our lives. To how does scripture speak into our parenting struggles? How does scripture speak into our bereavement? How does scripture speak into our struggles with a family interpersonal relationship breakdown? How does scripture speak into our illness? And we need help, and we need each other to speak that scripture and to apply that scripture to our lives. Every issue that we have is spiritual because we live as spiritual beings, embodied souls, and we need that. So I suppose the work of pastoral care that we need is to, what I've found, is to help people move from the 2D, the two-dimensional, of trying to work this out with our circumstances and us, to bringing it into the 3D and bringing God into the equation. So it's our circumstances, us and God, and He wants to redeem every situation that we're in. He wants to grow us, and He wants to help us. He wants to show us more of Himself in those moments. And so every situation can be redeemed for our good and for His glory, and we need each other to help us do that.
I think, Andrew, can I chip in? Just things Andrew and Marion have already been saying, just really, really resonant. I think that allusion to pastoral care in Psalm 23 and the Lord is my shepherd. This is none of my ideas are original, which is great in life. I just steal from other people. But someone was saying the other day, just read Psalm 23 and realize that you do nothing in that. The Lord does everything. The one who cares. And I think Marion's talking there about just the need for connecting with God in all of our lives, all being connected to God, but also that sense of community and connection with others. So the Lord's my shepherd, and then as Andrew's saying in the New Testament, that kind of builds into the elders being under shepherds. That's kind of 1 Peter language, isn't it? And then all of us as the flock loving one another, that real need for, I suppose we talk quite a bit about connection, and helping one another connect with Jesus and with one another, and at the root of a lot of that pastoral care.
Yeah. So helpful, both of you, those comments. And I was thinking as well, Marion, as you were saying about the gospel gap, that Psalm 23, in a sense, speaks to that. God's care in the past, in terms God's care in the future, in terms of bring us to heaven. But we can so often, as you're saying, miss God's care right now in the gap, as it were. And there's a sense as there in which, Psalm 23 is very much about that gap, about that journey, about the Lord leading us into places of rest and restoration, but also through valleys of the shadow of death, which is almost shorthand for every trouble and struggle that we face in life. And then also setting a place before our enemies of world and flesh and devil, and setting a table of feasting for those influences. And in all of that, we know the shepherd's presence and care until eventually, we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So there's a sense in which Psalm 23 actually really beautifully fills that gospel gap you're mentioning for us.
And I think we do need time to reflect on that, and we need space to reflect on that. And I mean, the public preaching of the word is so important every Sunday, but there is also a very real place for that one-to-one informal conversational ministry where people can bring their specific concerns. So God, for example, can be seen as good, as our good shepherd, but is He good to me? God is loving, but does He love me? And sometimes, you know, people need the, especially in our very, very relational society that we're in now, people need that one-to-one informal relational ministry to help them really take God's good shepherding to heart, to their hearts, and to live out of it, to functionally believe it rather than believing it in their heads.
And what a beautiful thing that we get to be part of that, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, maybe picking up on that one-to-one thread there, Marion, that you've mentioned, Ben, one of the common themes we hear an awful lot from elders and leaders and pastoral care providers across the church is that when it comes to that one-to-one care, they really feel quite lacking in confidence, to build that relational connection with people. Where do I start? What do I say? How do we begin to move toward people? And then the idea of holding a quality conversation or getting to know the person can feel difficult too. How do we get beyond the small talk, you know, whether it's the weather that's going on outside or the stuff that was on TV or the news? And then, you know, as Marion has said there, and you guys have fleshed out a little bit more in terms of the gospel gap, how do we bring that good, strong, biblical, prayerful content into the care that we provide? So, I mean, I'm curious to think, we're going to touch a little bit more on your congregation's story as well. Why do you think there is maybe this lack of confidence going on? What kind of things maybe stand in our way, or what kind of things are you hearing from your elders that are standing in their way of drawing alongside others to provide good, strong, effective pastoral care?
Let me shotgun you some answers, and some of them are bigger picture and some of them are much more kind of personal. But one is, don't get me wrong, confident to care, it sounds great, we need to be more confident to care, but have we ever been truly confident to care? Is this a new thing, or are we always actually struggling in our broken world to connect with others? Should there be that kind of sense of, well, and Andrew's just beautifully said how glorious it is to be a part of that, but there's also a nervousness, a humility in being part of something actually that doing with God at work through me. What does that look like? Can I step into this place? It's also a kind of human thing. We've talked about our broken world. We probably would just rather walk away from pain than walk towards it. I'd rather not spend my time actually sitting with pain. I'd rather just give someone a book and say, could you read that, and that'll make you better, thanks. But do I actually have to engage my heart and mind in this? We're broken people, and we just find that really difficult. Partly too, because I think particularly in our society, and Marion talked about the kind of changing a post-Christian world where we're actually probably more fragmented than we ever were. We're very, Marion said, we're really relational. We feel the need to be relational more and more, but we probably experience that some ways less and less. I mean, there's that irony, isn't it, that we want to connect over Facebook, but we all spend it on our own, on our phones. We want to connect and have community, but that doesn't quite come in the same way. And perhaps in decades previously, people lived more in community, had less wider connections, but had that greater sense of knowing people a little bit better. And so actually that we have to try and create community, and we have to work harder at that, where it may have been in times past a little more natural or organic. So actually there's a bit more effort to relate to people. And I guess another factor too, we talked about pain and not liking to walk towards it, but walk away from it. We've heard this phrase off someone else, but we've kind of pathologized pain, like made it really abnormal, as though we shouldn't have it in life. And of course, you know, this isn't how the world should be, but normal life in a broken world involves pain and suffering and disappointment and frustration. We can't live as though that's just abnormal. What's totally wrong with me that I'm in this point of brokenness or pain? And at the same time, we've probably professionalized care a bit, and I'm not talking about great, you know, great medical and counseling professions and all that kind of stuff. We kind of say, oh, there's all these difficult sorts of pain that are abnormal, and so we need really specialized care to deal with that. And some things we need really specialized care in, but we've almost said of ministry and of caring and of even understanding the Bible, that's a specialist's job, so someone else should do that. Whereas actually there's lots of things that just we, many of us, all of us can do, like Marion talking about knowing the Bible. There's got to be some training in there, but maybe some training that just helps many, all of us, feel a bit more like, actually, that isn't someone else's job to share some words of hope or pray with this person. That is something I'm equipped to do. So that's a shotgun thing, but maybe others want to add into that.
I think what you said there about the kind of psychologizing of all of our woes is really important. And, you know, Andrew, you could probably speak more on this as a psychiatrist. But, you know, I have in the last few years seen and talked to people who have been labelled and diagnosed. And it almost then, I think, makes elders and other people trying to pastorally care feel as if they're outside of anything that I can say to them as a Christian and pastorally care for them. They're almost in another category. So someone who's suffering from depression, oh, well, then that's outside of what I can care for. And I think it's really important that we see ourselves as being more alike. I think, was that one of Ed Welsh's phrases, Andrew, more alike than different? That even in those clinical or, you know, diagnoses, that we still have common things as human beings. And very often I find it helpful to take down those labels and take off those diagnoses and just see where we are as human beings and normalise, in a sense, what's going on. So I can think of one young woman I was dealing with, and she has been moved into four different categories of diagnoses, and really nobody really knows what to do with her. And yet, getting over my fear of those and sitting talking to her as a human being, we got to where God is working in her life, and that ability to give her hope in that, instead of this, I'm being moved around from department to department within a psychiatric unit. And just to say, no, we are actually able to come before God together. And I think that's important, fellow travellers coming before God together, you know.
Yeah, these are such wise and important points, I think, that Marion and Ben are making. And there's a sense in which, just even to draw together a couple of those points, which I think in some ways are helpful to bring together. One is that it's so true that we can pathologize and professionalize suffering. And yet somehow we have to see all of those, as you mentioned, Marion, those sort of labels and diagnoses as part of that journey in the valley of the shadow of death. You know, to bring sort of the Psalm 23 language into it, sort of the disappointment, the loss, the trouble, sorrow, the difficulty in this life. And there's a sense in which there is a task and a sense of reinterpretation to be done. And we can only do that, as you have done in the examples you've given there, Marion, of really getting to know a person well and getting into their experience and drilling down beneath the label to see what this struggle is like. So there's certainly a task before us of trying to see those struggles as not beyond the reach of Scripture and of our care within the body of Christ. And yet, if I can reel right back to your very first comment, Ben, about sort of the term confidence, I think, again, so very wise, because I think, you know, there's a sense in which as we enter into all of this, we want to enter in with a kind of a humility. Our confidence is by no means in ourselves or in any kind of, you know, gifting or capacity that we have. It's in the Good Shepherd who made us as embodied souls and who is over and Lord over all of the diagnoses and struggles that we face. And so we want to enter in with that kind of humility. And we also recognize that God's care has a breadth to it that includes all of those sort of, if you like, agents of common grace that are out there. And we're part of that bigger picture of his care to his people. So,
Andrew, this is great. I'm going to be rewinding this podcast and listening to this really slowly and carefully to take all this on from Andrew and Marion. I was just taken by just a couple of things there. One about knowing people. I think Andrew, you talked about knowing people deeply. So just back on the ground with elders and carers and stuff. One of the things we've said is actually we just need to know each other better. Wander into a situation trying to offer pastoral care in whatever way and think, oh, I don't actually know this person. You know, the opportunity to say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing is manifold there, isn't it? Without actually the relationship of knowing people. So one of the base level things, I think, just about pastoral care in a congregation is encouraging us to know each other better. That's not all of us knowing everything about everyone, but just deeper relationships. And then that humility, I think, you know, you just talked about entering with humility. And there is so I guess one of the other fears we have is saying the wrong thing, isn't it? And that's a good fear. That's a good fear, because the wrong thing can be really, really unhelpful. And there's a kind of humility that A, realises I perhaps need to think or be helped about thinking what the things not to say or what the things to say. Sometimes it's, I guess, not even saying very much, but that being the person being there and listening. But there is a real, I think, important necessary humility in stepping into any of that, isn't there?
Yeah. And I like the way, Ben, you're fleshing out there for us, in a sense, the neediness that we have to, as those that give care, those that offer care, those that offer help, are as in need of a good shepherd as those that we seek to care for.
I think that's why praying constantly for your people is so important. I mean, Bren, you were saying there about the knowing. You can't pray for someone well if you don't know them. You don't know what they're going through in that moment. And so that praying before, during and after, praying more for people is a very basic thing. I think the other thing that you were saying there about the humility that we have, I think it's one of the fears that elders have, is that they don't feel they have reached a standard. I think in a lot of elders' heads, there's a standard of holiness, a standard of biblical knowledge, a standard of understanding theology that they have to reach before they earn the right to go to speak to someone. And I think it's really important that somehow we grasp that idea that we are all under shepherds, under Christ. It's his work and he's using us, and he will use us in our weakness and his strength. And actually the only thing we will ever do is going in our weakness and his strength.
I think, Marian, that as you're talking there, it's bringing my mind to the words I think that were mentioned earlier from 2 Corinthians 1, that we comfort others with the comfort that we have received from God. Our need, our weakness itself is the qualification to care. That itself is the qualification to offer comfort, because we comfort others with the comfort that we have received from God. So, really helpful.
And I think it's really important as well that we do, as elders, if we are responsible for pastoral care, to take responsibility for our own lives before God. I think our own spiritual walk. In my experience, the number of times God gives you something in your own journey with him, in your own time with him, that then he uses with someone else during that day or during that week. So I think that sense of being a conduit and outflowing from what he gives you is really, really vital for us as elders.
Absolutely. Conscious as we've been talking, or as you guys have been talking, the word journey has come up at various different points of that conversation, and the sense too, I think, you know, hearing from you that there can be a desire, can't there, sometimes to throw, I think, what Eugene Peterson calls cheerful graffiti at pastoral care situations, you know, nice verses or nice promises that we can think that's it, that's great, that will help them. And yet, powerful and true as those things are, it's no substitute for walking with someone. Sure, it's no substitute for getting to know the person and beginning to know their need, and us knowing our good shepherds and beginning to speak and share his care with them as best as we can. I suppose sticking with that idea of journey, Ben, your congregation has been on a bit of a journey over the last couple of years where you have begun to explore what shape pastoral life takes within your congregation, that it can maybe become that little bit more natural and organic and involve people of all ages and stages and backgrounds, and not just those who are elders or pastoral visitors. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that journey that you've been on as a church and what your hopes are for that as you try to move forward, and maybe what lessons you've learned so far within that journey that you can share with us and with others who'll be listening, who perhaps are beginning to think we maybe want to explore what our pastoral care looks like in this season?
It is a journey. We're kind of in the, I think, Andrew, you've talked before about the messy middle of that. You know, we've kind of begun it, and now we're trying to, with a whole number of ideas, and trying to figure out how that fits together. I really love that you know, illustration of the trellis and the vine. You know, that you have the vine, the actual life of a thing, an organic life, and then the trellis that helps it grow. And I suppose with that idea, we're trying to encourage that, you know, the vine, the long-term rootedness in Jesus, connection of hearts and minds, loving Jesus and loving one another more and more, you know, at the heart of God's people, at the heart of pastoral care, at the heart of all we do. But also then thinking around that, and that's just ongoing. You know, Marion, you talked about weekly preaching, that's daily, that's monthly, yearly, ongoing stuff. But around that, there's also that kind of trellis, that kind of, what are the structures that are going to help that grow? And so we've been reflecting on that, really, and made a bit of, I suppose we talked about, there's an upgrade, really, as opposed to kind of a radical change, you know, a bit like your phone, you get an upgrade once in a while, and it kind of changes the system a bit. So upgrading really from having the 15 elders districts, pastoral districts that will be known in a lot of Presbyterian churches and work very, very well in many ways and at many times. But what we've kind of upgraded to, if you like, is three big districts instead. So you call them, we call them pastorates. They're kind of, you might call them super districts, but we call them pastorates. So rather than having 15 districts with one elder, perhaps, or one or two committee members with each, we've got three pastorates, really originally named Red, Blue and Green. And they have a team of elders and committee members and other members of the congregation overseeing them. I guess a number of things were in mind as we did that. One, actually, they're all going to be in with C, so you'll love this. One is comprehensiveness. We wanted something that still included everyone, and probably nothing better than geography does that because everyone lives somewhere. So how do you make sure that everyone has a place to be in thinking about pastoral care? The second was really about capacity and thinking about, well, elders' own gifts and pastoral gifts, and that can vary from elder to elder, their own time and resources. And again, that varies from the elder who has a job and young children to the one who's early retired, to the one who's older, to however that may look. And to actually using gifts in our congregation and working together in teams rather than someone kind of feeling isolated, thinking this is the pastoral care on my own, I have to do with these number of families, but how the teams work together and then look to share their different gifts in the different pastoral needs of a group. Thinking about community as well, so actually how do we create something that helps build community and maybe opportunities within those pastorates to build what we talk about as life together with Jesus. Connectivity, and I think connection has been a really important way of understanding pastoral care for us. And all those biblical images of the vine and the flock and the body, they're all corporate, communal, connected ideas. How do we help people feel increasingly connected to Jesus and his church from wherever they are at the moment? And I guess continuing to build up that culture, that vine life. So we've developed these three pastorates. Every team has a couple of lead elders. All the elders are involved, but to a greater or lesser degree, we're all corporately responsible for pastoral care. So there's no shying away from this is our responsibility as a session. But different elders, depending on their gifts and resources, have different roles in each of those teams. Some committee members, some other members of the congregation who have a heart and gifts for caring, for listening, for sharing with people, for getting alongside people. And that's been kind of identified and recognised by our session. And then those teams, they're getting together at the moment and kind of working out, well, how do we as a team help these, maybe 80 to 100 households in each pastorate? And that can look really kind of different, I suppose. So you may say some people have gifts in checking in on a few households, people who are around about church all the time, but checking in once in a while and seeing, taking an interest in their family, their life and their faith, and how's that going? Or some who are visiting people who can't get out and about at all, and perhaps going reading the Bible and praying with them. Or some organising practical help for those who may be in a crisis. It's that kind of common or continuous or crisis care that, Andrew, you would have talked to us about. Some maybe dropping in to see those who just haven't been around for a while, seeing how we can connect better, or thinking, are there things we can put on to draw people in to know each other better, to be able to have intentional conversations. So I suppose it's really thinking about how can different members of the team use their gifts for the different context of people, but working together as a team. And then I suppose building that sense of community and connection. So that's where we're kind of at the moment. We're kind of figuring that out, making that a little bit better known, helping people to understand this looks a bit different, but the same. Whilst all the time remembering, actually, this is calling on all of us. So there's people who have responsibility as elders. There are people who are gifted in the congregation. But all of us are called to actually know each other and love each other and pray for one another.
So Andrew, Ben has touched on this is what is beginning to work for them and the shape that this is beginning to take in St. Field Road, but also alluded to the fact that this will look different in other congregations in the Presbyterian Church across Ireland. They will have structures and systems for pastoral care that will work for them, and we want to be conscious of those things. And I suppose as we begin to think about that, and in May 2024, you're going to be doing some work with us in the Council for Congregational Life and Witness to deliver a 3-night training program called Confident to Care. Can you tell us a little bit about that, what the participants who have signed up can expect to explore, what the evenings are going to look like, and maybe what some of your hopes and expectations for that training are?
Sure, glad to. I'm really interested to hear, Ben, just about your journey there with the church. Really fascinating. You'll be very pleased to hear that this is all based around C's as well. We have lots of C's in these Confident to Care. So it's Confident to Connect, Confident in Conversation, and Confident in our content. So we're going to be awash with C's. Very pleasing. But I was thinking, as I was listening to you, Ben, I was thinking, where does the kind of training that we're offering sort of fit into that kind of journey, whether it's your own congregation or, as Andrew says, many others around the province and beyond? It, those areas of community and connection, this training sort of will want to drill a little bit down further into how that is done. It's like looking at the vine and thinking a little bit more closely, okay, what does it really look like for this vine to be growing? What's it going to look like in conversations? As an elder goes into a home, one of those homes, what's going to happen next? What are they going to say? What's the conversation going to be like after church on a Sunday if, you know, as one of the elders and the pastorates gets, you know, happens to be talking to someone in the congregation and a need arises, you know, how does this care begin to live itself out and begin to look in practice? So really, I think that's kind of the level that we want to be sort of thinking at in these training meetings. So they are based around that structure of, first of all, connecting. How do we establish a relationship with someone? How do we move towards them? How do we build a connection? How do we convey love and care? Because as you were saying earlier, quite rightly, and as Marion was mentioning in her examples, you know, it's really only as we begin to kind of establish that connection and relationship that we can begin to move into someone's life and get to know them in such a way that the care we bring is relevant to them. So connection is going to be sort of the first focus of the evenings. Then secondly, conversation, because in a sense, our care of someone will only deepen as we understand the person. So how do we get to know someone well? You know, let's think even more deeply about that. You know, these are hopefully very normal sort of skills in a way to be thinking. We listen actively, we listen intentionally, and we ask good questions. When they're talking about their lives, we want to be able to slow down with their struggles, with the things that really matter in their lives. So, you know, as they begin to talk about the good things, you know, we want to hear about the good things, the things that matter to them, the things that make up their life, that are a blessing in their life, because again, that really establishes connection. But we also want to really hear about points of struggle and difficulty, the valley of the shadow of death, or where the enemies are coming in. And, you know, you mentioned earlier, Ben, about how we can sometimes want to avoid the pain. So we want to really begin to think about how we overcome that and begin to think about sort of being able to slow down with people, not avoid the pain, and sort of rush past struggle. And bearing in mind as we do this, I mean, even as I'm talking, I'm kind of conscious that, and I think obviously with the groups we're talking about, there is a certain imbalance in that the people that are coming and offering help are kind of the caregiver, and the person that they're talking to is a care receiver. But you know, there's still room for that one anothering back and forth, you know, and the mutuality, if you like, of New Testament care. So conversation. And then thirdly, what we're thinking about, content. How then, as we hear about someone's struggle, do we begin to see how God's word is relevant to that need? Because we want to bring the wisdom and the care of the good shepherd. Marion, you said earlier about we are conduits, we're channels, aren't we, of in a sense, the care of the good shepherd. And I suppose most commonly that care is conveyed in his word. It's the truth that brings us that comfort, that hope, that redeeming, sanctifying help in the midst of our needs. So we want to see how we can bring the words of God with relevance, but also in helpful ways, not in ways that are going to be too superficial or too harsh or that are going to be hard to hear. But we We want the good news to sound good. We want it to sound like it is the care of the good shepherd that we're bringing to someone, and we want to speak words with that kind of tone and in that way. I mean, this is the wonderful thing, isn't it, about this ministry, that even as we think about how these skills kind of can be worked out in that sort of horizontal way, ultimately we get to turn to the good shepherd. We get to turn to him together. In real time, in real life, our true pastor is there. We can together turn with the person in prayer, and we want to be thinking about that. So the evenings are going to be structured around those three C's, and they're going to be a mixture of sort of some upfront teaching, a little bit of workshop exercise, but actually really just putting people into pairs and giving them some real practice at that kind of conversation, outlining the skills, giving people practice, getting a bit of feedback, seeing how it went, and hopefully by the Lord's grace, growing together in these skills of caring.
Andrew, that just listened to you there, not only because they all begin with C, which obviously is tremendous, putting the C back in PCI. That just sounds exactly where we're at, actually. And just even in our last conversation with our kind of lead elders, we were talking in the need for, we had Andrew and David coming to do a little bit of training. We wanted everybody who's involved to have some basic training and listening to start with, and some skills, but then think, okay, so where do we, how do we need to equip people? And it's exactly around that. So how do we have a conversation? How do we make that connection? What sort of things don't we say, but do we say, in terms of asking questions that are helpful, that are useful, and what do we bring to that content? So we've been just realizing having those conversations with, what do you say, connection, conversation, and content. I love that. It's just exactly where we're at. And I imagine where a lot of folks are at, and just thinking, how do we best do that?
Yeah, it was amazing. Andrew came and did a morning with us in November, Andrew, I think it was. And we did a little bit of active listening practice. And even at the end of that session, our elders felt so much more confident, so much more willing to go and begin conversations. And that was what, half an hour. We just need to be equipping and skilling our people better to do this conversational ministry. It's so important.
Yeah, thanks Andrew for outlining that for us. Ben, you'll be glad to know there's someone from your congregation has signed up to come along to Confident to Care, so you'll be able to pick their brains on everything that is explored and set them up to journey with the rest of your elders and your pastoral visitors and others in your congregation. Mary, we want to come back to you. Conscious this morning, as we've had this conversation, there have been a lot of words thrown around, like confidence and then also humility whenever it comes to our care, and sometimes whenever it comes to offering care to people, it can be all too easy to operate in our own strength or to overwork or perhaps even to overburden ourselves and not take time, like you said earlier on, to be with our good shepherd in relationship ourselves, to read scripture, to pray, to listen for his voice and receive his care and comfort. So conscious of wanting to ask you, as a pastoral caregiver, how do you avoid falling into those traps of relying on your own strength or overworking or overburdening yourselves? And what advice would you share to those elders that maybe do fall into those traps around how we keep coming back to God? And what does that look like for you in your everyday daily life and in the care that you offer?
Yeah, I think the first thing to say is I absolutely did fall into all of those traps, and did overwork. And I think the years of looking at being a caregiver have been a learning journey for me with God, where God has brought me on a number of occasions to reset on that. So I think the key thing is that daily I remind myself that I am not the chief shepherd. That I am there under the chief shepherd, under the good shepherd. And every time you are in the room with someone or in a coffee shop with someone, there are not two people sitting at the table, there are three people sitting at the table. And that brings a sense of rest and relaxation into the relationship, I think, where it's not about you. And that sense that I was talking about earlier about God working through our weakness. We are limited creatures, and I think we need to know ourselves to be limited creatures. And God will work his purposes with our limitations. And as Andre said, what a wonderful thing for two of us to be sitting with the Good Shepherd in every conversation. So that changes the focus, and it puts it very firmly on him. But I do remember at one point where I was feeling very burned out, that God brought me to 1 Kings 19, to where Elijah had been working. And he tells God that he's been working zealously for him, and he is the only one who God has working for him. And I loved the way, you know, I could hear myself in those words. I'm the only one working for you in this situation. I'm working zealously for you. And God says, no. I have 7,000 other people in Israel who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So that is a passage that I come back to often. And that humility, God has many people who he will work with. And I find as well that very often we are one in a chain of people. And when God is working his purposes in people's lives, he will use multiple people. It's one of the things I love, Ben, about your model of pastoral care, working in teams. I think that those pastorates with teams of people working together, I think that's wonderful. And that protects us from being overburdened, overworked. We're operating in very much as a team of God's people, with him as our chief shepherd. I've talked about the idea of prioritising time with God every day. That it's a vital thing. I think you're a dry well if you don't have anything to give to people. You're just dry if you're not actually feeding on God yourself, that banquet that Andrew was talking about earlier. And I think as well, just to keep a close ear to what you're saying and how you're feeling, keep a, you know, be aware of your own heart and your own reactions to people. If you're finding yourself getting short and irritable with people, it's time to step away and to go and spend time with God for a while and let him reset his heart of love in you for the folks that you're helping. And I think as well, two other things are important for us to remember. Be comfortable with being limited, be comfortable with not being able to fix people, and be comfortable with not having all the right answers. I think that's really important. And also to know that we often need to widen that circle of care. Again, your model, Ben, that you were talking about is very valuable in that, but widening that circle of care and referring on when we feel that we're not equipped to deal with certain situations.
So wise, Marion. You know, I was thinking just as you were speaking, those are such wise things, not just in a sense to help us in terms of being to preserve us and to manage our own limitations wisely, to be able to love others well, but also they're good for the other person too. You know, they are protective for the other person. You're loving the other person well by taking into account all of those things that you mentioned there, the humility, the self-awareness, the need of the Lord, the wisdom to refer and to recognize your limitations. All of those are helpful to us, but ways of loving as well, part of the care, if you like. So yeah, I really appreciate your wisdom. Excellent.
Absolutely. I think that's great, Marion. I was listening, thinking, great. Again, I need to listen back to this podcast. Think, yeah, those are all really, really helpful and wise things.
Yeah, thanks, Marion. I mean, you've mentioned there 1 Kings 19, and we have had a lot of scripture in this podcast today. We've alluded to John 10 throughout, and Jesus being our good shepherd. We've spent some time in Psalm 23, 2 Corinthians 1 has come up as well. I mean, one of the ways we often end these podcasts is to ask everyone who's contributing if there's a certain verse or passage from scripture that's on your heart and mind as you think about this idea of caring well for others or being confident to care, and would love for those to, I suppose, be our finishing words within this. So Ben, do you want to share yours with us, and then Marion, and then Andrew, you can finish us off?
Yeah, well, mine was just really resonating around as Marion was speaking there. And it's really simple and straightforward, and it's been at the heart of us talking about life together with Jesus. But it's 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. We only love God because he first loved us. And we only love other people because he first loved us. And the source of our love for other people is God's love for us. And the inspiration and the model of our love for other people is Christ's love for us. And we can only love because God loves us, which is exactly what Marion was just sharing with us there. It's just beautifully simple, but we keep on coming back to it.
Adding to that as well, Ben, I think on the same vein, my verse would be 1 Corinthians 3, where we talk about it's not, you know, where Paul's talking about him planting and Apollos watering. And the message version of that is, it's not the one who plants or the one who waters who is at the centre of this process, but God who makes things grow. And I just think that's where we are. We are literally channels for him, and we have a role in his work. And what a privilege to be partnering with him in his work to bring people into maturity spiritually.
Yeah, amen. I almost don't want to spoil it, by adding something in. But I've been thinking of, I was really back to 2 Corinthians 1, not just because Corinthians begins with C, but although that has been a theme in our podcast today, but praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Just a few things, sort of maybe to some degree summarize what we've been saying today. First of all, there is this kind of comprehensiveness, isn't there? There, all of our troubles comforts us in all our troubles. It's amazing to slow down with that and think about just how comprehensive that is, so that we can comfort those in any trouble. But it also, I think, as we've been saying this morning, the caregiver is also needy. Before we comfort others, we need to receive from God, because we too are needy. We too are poor and needy, and there's so much that springs out of that. Our humility as we enter into this care, our recognition of the need of others, that need of widening the circle and so forth that you mentioned, Marion. All of that is out of, in a sense, we are those that need comfort as well from God. But and then ultimately landing where both of you landed in your verses there is that ultimately the caregiver is God. He is the shepherd. It's the comfort that we receive from the Father of compassion and God of all comfort. It seems like that's a good place for us to be landing.
Absolutely. Thanks, Andrew and Ben and Marion. It's always wonderful, isn't it, to be reminded of how God's timeless word speaks to us and encourages us with those truths that though we care for others, He is also over us, caring for us and present in our situations and in the care that we offer. And that's incredibly comforting and hopeful for us to hold on to. So thank you so much to each of you for helping us to consider this theme of being confident to care. As we've already mentioned, the Council for Congregational Life and Witness, in conjunction with Andrew Collins and Biblical Counselling UK, is delivering a 3-night training programme called Confident to Care on Tuesday, the 14th, 21st, and 28th of May at Union Theological College in Belfast. Bad news is, or maybe the good news, depending on how you look at it, that training is already sold out. But there is a waiting list in place as we explore the possibility of running Confident to Care again, maybe later in 2024 or sometime early next year in 2025. You can keep up to date with that on PCI's various social media channels, where information will be revealed as and when we have it, and also by signing up to EQIP, PCI's email, which provides up-to-date information each month on training events, programs, resources, and more, which are available to you and your congregation. And you can sign up today to receive that at www.presbyterianireland.org/EQIP. Well, that's all for this episode. We hope you'll join us again next time. But until then, thanks for listening and God bless.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.